Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Martin Scorsese recently wrote that tentpole movies, huge budget movies like the ones Marvel makes, are hogging a disproportionate share of Hollywood bucks, and the movies aren't that great. This squeezes traditional medium budget one-off films, not sequels, squeezing them out of the picture. Luckily, they're not all gone yet, turning to other funders like streaming sites. This week, I'm looking at three films, a crime drama, a war movie, and a rom-com, all movies without superheroes. The Irishman, directed by Martin Scorsese. It's the 1950s. Frank Sheeran, played by Robert De Niro, is a truck driver who delivers beef hindquarters. When his truck breaks down on the highway, a strange man offers advice on how to fix it. This guy is Russell Bufalino, played by Joe Pesci, a mob boss in Pennsylvania. When Sheeran is caught stealing beef, Russell supplies a lawyer, thus starting a long-time relationship between the trucker and the mafia. And Teamsters, the truckers' union, stands with them all the way. Soon Frank is doing a different kind of work for Russell. He paints houses, which actually means he's a hitman for the mob. Despite his Irish background, he speaks Italian because he served in the army in World War II in Anzio. Soon enough, they're thick as thieves and Frank enjoys the growing benefits, but Russell is always his boss. Eventually, he's sent over to Jimmy Hoffa, played by Al Pacino, the head of Teamsters, as a bodyguard, as well as the middleman between Hoffa and the mob. Hoffa is a brash firebrand, an old-school union organizer with legions of loyal members. He's also an extremely powerful leader and speechmaker, and he controls the union's pension. This means he can finance things like Las Vegas casinos, run by the mob, with cash, something banks refuse to do. And he gives money to the Nixon campaign against Kennedy, a rare instance of a labor union officially supporting a Republican. But friction grows between Hoffa and the mafia until the day Hoffa mysteriously disappears without a trace, his body never found. What happened to Jimmy Hoffa? The Irishman is narrated by Frank in an old age home, which gives it sort of an old man's movie. It's like a Forrest Gump movie for gangsters, with Frank somehow tied up to all the major events of the 60s and 70s, the Kennedys, Bay of Pigs, Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance, to name just a few. This is a 3.5-hour movie. This film has some problems. The weird CGI they use to make actors look younger. It makes them look wooden or plastic instead. Female characters, what there are of them, have virtually no lines. They just scowl and disapprove. And it seems to be missing that sharp edge, that sexual zing of Scorsese's older movies. Still, I was never bored. For 3.5 hours, I was glued to the screen the whole time. Pacino is fantastic as Jimmy Hoffa, and Scorsese's movies, they're just always good. They're good. The quality of filmmaking is superb. And The Irishman, it tells a really good, interesting story you want to follow. Last Christmas, directed by Paul Feig. Kate, played by Emilia Clarke, is a quirky, young, aspiring singer in London. By day, she's a cute little green elf working in a kitschy, Christmas-themed gift shop run all year by a prickly boss named Santa, played by Michelle Yeoh. By night, she's a barfly, sleeping with any guy she fancies, a different one each night. Ever since her operation, she's been depressed. She's embarrassed by her Yugoslavian background and family, and her singing career is going nowhere fast. She's on a downward spiral of self-pity and self-destruction until she meets this guy named Tom, played by Henry Golding. Tom is everything Kate is not. He's saintly, altruistic, generous, nice. While Kate looks down and sees garbage bags, Tom looks up and sees tropical birds and quaint old signs. So he takes her on a tour of London to show her the hidden side of the city. There's a secret garden where people go to be alone, and a soup kitchen for the homeless, where he's a volunteer. Even a deserted skating rink. How romantic. Is this love? But he disappears for days at a time. What secret is this guy hiding? Is this true love? And can their relationship keep them together? Okay, Late Christmas is a cute rom-com about a depressed woman coming out of her shell and her, along with her happy-go-lucky would-be boyfriend. Emma Thompson plays Kate's weeping Croatian mom. She also co-wrote the script. It's cute and heartwarming. It's not that funny for a rom-com. Michelle Yeoh is terrific, though, as a middle-aged woman still on the hunt, and Clark and Golding make an appealing romantic couple. There's a totally surprising twist to this movie, which actually brought tears to my eyes. No spoilers, but I left thinking it's a lot better than I did three quarters of the way through until the twist came in. Midway, directed by Roland Emmerich. It's 1941 with war raging across Europe, China, and the Pacific, but the U.S. is cautiously viewing it from the sidelines. Dick Best, played by Ed Skrein, is a gum-chewing pilot based in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. He's a daredevil dive bomber, showing off his new techniques. Also on board the aircraft carrier is his rival, a by-the-books guy named McCluskey, played by Luke Evans. He says, "Dick, you're a cowboy. You should stop showing off." But while their aircraft carrier is out to sea, all the ships in Pearl Harbor are wiped out in a surprise attack by the Japanese, pulling the U.S. into World War II. Only Edwin Layton, played by Patrick Wilson, he's the intel expert on Japan, he's the only one who predicted this. And he thinks there's a crucial battle up ahead at Midway, the Battle of Midway, which is an island in the South Pacific. Midway is a point crucial for control of the entire Pacific. If Layton is right in his intelligence, whoever wins the battle will win the war. It's just a matter of time. Okay, so Midway is a dramatization of the years leading up to the Navy Battle of Midway and the intense fight that follows in submarines, aircraft carriers, planes overhead, and it's all filtered through the eyes of these lantern-jawed military figures like Jimmy Doolittle, played by Aaron Eckhart, Admiral Nimitz, played by Woody Harrelson, Vice Admiral Bull Halsey, played by Dennis Quaid, and a whole lot more, plus these semi-fictional sailors, soldiers, pilots who go on to commit various acts of bravery, like Bruno Guido, played by Nick Jonas. That's like the Jonas Brothers. He's actually good. The story also switches back and forth between the Japanese side with Admirals Nagumo, Yamaguchi, and Yamamoto plotting to defeat the Americans. Midway is exactly the kind of movie I can't stand. Yet another tired war movie about a long forgotten battle filled with smarmy patriotism, bugle call, but you know what? I went to the press screening, and guess what? I actually really liked Midway. It's a really good movie, believe it or not. Fantastic special effects, complex battles, and they're shown in an easy-to-follow way. Good acting, great characters. Even the Japanese side are portrayed respectfully, not as hokey villains, but at the same time without covering up their war crimes in eastern China and elsewhere. Just like the Irishman, the women are mainly there to support or worry about their husbands. It's also 2 hours, 20 minutes long, but I'll tell you, the thrills keep you staring at that screen till it's all over. I'm sure a lot of critics are going to compare this to Dunkirk and pan Midway, but to me, Midway is more thrilling, less ponderous. Midway and Last Christmas both start today in Toronto. Check your local listings. And The Irishman is screening at the Tiff Bell Lightbox, also starting today. This is Daniel Garber with the Movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM. And on my website, culturalmining.com.